Welcome, everyone, especially our replay viewers. We're notifying everyone on social media that we're live, so bear with us as we get our streams going. We have a live audience today, students from our Women's Leadership Program. There they are. You can applaud. So I am going to get my stream going on my computer, but I wanted to introduce you to Rhonda Rogers. And Rhonda is actually from, she's our IAM Director of Women's, Young Workers, and Human Rights. Isn't that right?
Yes, and Community Services.
And Community Services. A lot on her plate. So we have all the women here from the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center, this live audience of participants, and we're hoping that you will share your comments about everything we discuss, and we hope that they'll share their comments as well. So we just have a couple minutes until we go. But Rhonda, you had an announcement to make that we are going to make again later on in the show.
Yes.
But you have about a minute if you want to talk about what's exciting coming up in April.
Okay, so we have a women's conference coming up. It's the first one we've done in forever. It's been at least 10 years. It's women's only. The last time we did a conference, I believe we had women's human rights and young workers all in that conference. This is women's only. So I'm real excited about it because we've got some really phenomenal sisters out there. So it is April 2-6.
Ooh, I got the dates wrong.
Yeah.
2-6.
Okay. It will actually start on April 3rd. I will probably do a registration on April 2nd. I will finish up on the 6th at Bally's Hotel in Las Vegas. The theme is Women Rising, Unite the Fight. And we're very excited about getting all this done. We need women in leadership positions in our unions to take it forward. But to get that done, we also need our brothers to work with us along the way. So that's why we're calling it Unite the Fight, because we want them to be on board with this as well.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. We're going to talk to you again a little bit later, but it's 11 o'clock, so Activate Live Special Edition starts now.
Fantastic. I'm excited.
Activate your voice.
Fight for your rights. Speak up. Speak out.
We're union and we're proud. Go Union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to a special edition of Activate Live. I'm Tanya Hutchins at our headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Today, we have a live studio audience made up of women from all across North America. We have women from Canada and the United States. And we'd like to introduce you to some of them, hear their stories, and what they're doing in their locals. And first up is Jessica Ford of Maine. So thanks for being here, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
So first, tell me a little bit about where you work and what you do.
Sure. I work for Bath Ironworks in Bath, Maine, so I'm a member of our local S6, and by trade I'm a machinist. So in the manufacturing facility I work in, I do a little bit of CNC machining, not so much as a lot of forming and fabrication of smaller components that then go down the line and move around to facilities. And we're a Department of Defense contractor, so we build destroyers for the Navy. So it's really exciting. It's very interesting, and
great
I enjoy
work.
The work.
Important work.
Yes.
So how long have you been there?
I started, my hire date was August 21st of last year.
Great.
So it's been a little over a year now that I've been working there and a member of IAM.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And how did you get involved with the union?
Well, I was looking for machining work that had benefits that would allow me to access them for myself and my son, and a wage that I could be able to provide for us independently. And I kept applying for the job at Bath Ironworks, and it took some time, but I got in, and it was a no-brainer for me when I came in. I was excited about being able to learn about union membership and what it meant and how I could get active, and so that's what I'm doing.
So I assume that you worked in some non-union jobs earlier in
yes.
your career. What of a difference has it made to you now that you have become a union member?
Oh, it's made a huge difference. The first thing that I think about is my health care. I'm a single parent. I have an 8-year-old little boy. And the first job that I had, they offered benefits, and I paid for them. I had to pay for them. It wasn't like I could opt out. We need to be insured. I couldn't utilize the benefits. I couldn't afford to get the health care that I needed. So there were many times where, unless it was preventative care, I wasn't utilizing the insurance. And so then I got another job where I was making a little bit more money, and again, the benefits were good, and I could afford, you know, the weekly payout. However, it was still a little bit inaccessible, the dental care. I couldn't afford to utilize it. So the biggest part was having health insurance that I could utilize. I don't have to worry about making an appointment and being embarrassed of having to, oh, well, how much is this going to cost? And could it cost more? And having to feel like I'm negotiating at the doctor's office to decide, you know, what I can afford. I can get the services I need, and my wages allow me to access that care.
Healthcare changes people's lives. It Good has. Healthcare does.
Yes.
So now you've been this week at the William W. Wimpasinger Center,
yes,
down in Hollywood, Maryland, yes, for the Women's Leadership class. How did you hear about the class, and what have you been talking about?
I was at my local lodge's business meeting, and they read off different classes that were coming up, and I'm a member of the women's committee out of my local, and myself and one of my sisters, and we found out, we were like, this is something that we would really like to go to do. And my sister, Lori, who's here, we're here together from Bath, she had heard about it the year prior and wanted to be able to come, and it just didn't come to fruition. And so when I heard about it, I was like, we need to get that application in, and we need to get seats. So that's what we did.
And how has it been so far?
It was such an amazing and empowering experience. The women, the 27 other women I had the opportunity to spend this week with, it certainly was impactful and life-changing. I work in a male-dominated industry. I'm a machinist. You know, don't quote me on this, but I believe that there are about 135, 136 inside machinists at Bath Iron Works. As far as I know, I am the only female. We certainly have other women within the yard, but we certainly are a minority. And so to spend the week with other trade workers who we share the same struggles, we have to overcome the same adversity, we're able to share that, talk about different ways we've been able to kind of navigate things and learn, and it was amazing. Anyone who has the opportunity, any women out there especially, to come to the Wimpasinger Center to attend this Women's Leadership Conference, it was life-changing. And we all were able to share, once we got to know each other a little bit, that we were all a little scared when we came here. And that fear dissipated as we got to know each other.
That is great.
Yeah.
So are you interested in taking other classes here now, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, whatever opportunities I can utilize to come back here to continue to become more knowledgeable about the union and different ways that I can get active and you know, the structure of things and procedures, you know, you can never stop learning. And so any opportunity I have to come back, certainly for Women's Advanced Leadership, but also the other programs that they have as well.
Okay, I'm going to give you open mic so you can give a shout out to anybody back home at Essex.
Oh.
Well, anything we haven't discussed that you want to mention.
Anything new. Okay, so what I would like to mention, I'm relatively new to the union, so there are a lot of things that I just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And what it means to me to be a union member, and the reason that I've gotten active, I'm a member of the Women's Committee and I'm on the Legislative Committee, and hopefully as time goes on, I can, you know, get into a steward position and move forward and advance throughout my local. I've been active with the AFL-CIO, and that's been a wonderful experience to be able to meet other brothers and sisters from other unions and see how they do things. But to be able to utilize our voices as women to try to implement change, you know, alongside with our brothers, to try to improve upon the quality of life for workers overall is my goal. You know, there's a lot that goes on, and I know that as a woman, I certainly have a different perspective than maybe some of my brothers would have, as they do. You know, they absolutely have a different perspective on the world and things, and if we can come together to try to implement some positive change for workers, there's no end to how far we can move forward, but we must unite, we must work together and be able to have those conversations.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate
Thank
it.
You for having me.
Sharing everything. And there we have it on the screen. We can do it.
Yes, we
you
can.
Know, Rosie will last forever.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, join the conversation. So let us know, what do you think about everything that we've been talking about so far, about women on the job, working in non-traditional careers? You can comment now to activate your voice as a worker. Let us know what you're doing in your local to recruit women, and if you have a women's committee. And we have people commenting already. Wendy Brooks saying, women rising. See, that term really does resonate with people. So we're glad that you came in and commented. We have Bonnie. Bonnie saying, see you all at the Women's Conference in April. See, she's already thinking about it. We hope so. Wendy Brooks says, hello, ladies. So we're so glad that we have so many people watching and commenting so far, and we hope that the comments continue, even with the people who are in the audience here. Well, our next guest is Monet Kendrick from Nevada, or I guess I should ask her if she says Nevada. I always never know which. I grew up in New York, so I say Nevada, but yeah, I should learn how to say it where people are from. So tell us, Monet, what do you do?
I'm an avionics technician for M1 Support Services at Nellis Air Force Base.
Now, what does that involve when you go to work every day?
Well, all of us roll here pretty much on an airplane, so if you look in the cockpit, all the components, everything in the avionics bay, I repair those items.
Excellent. That is so great. Yes. Now, I guess a lot of people would consider that a non-traditional career for a woman. How many women do you work with?
We have one other avionics tech, and we have one supply troop, so it's very minimal. We are small.
Now, I hear that you're advocating and inspiring other women. What do you tell people about the need to get more women in non-traditional careers?
I try to push it. I started this career field in the Air Force. That's how I got my job, 20 years. And even then, 20 years ago, we had a squadron of 500, and I think we had a bay of maybe 10 women to spread across. As years has gone by, we've gotten more women. I think the school systems, colleges, we need to endorse more women in non-traditional positions, more science, more math, and I think that would make a big difference.
So teachers must love you on career day to get you into some more of those schools.
Yes.
So what do you tell them when they ask about how you prepared? Do you tell them about your Air Force story?
I do. It's hard, but it's easy. We can do anything that men can do. I think a lot of times women are afraid because where you see men, you think, oh, well, maybe I can't do it. Maybe there'll be physical differences. You know, maybe I won't be able to lift this or do that, but try it. You know, if you can't do it, then find something else. But there is no limit of anything that women can do. Get information, Google, YouTube. We've been Googling and YouTubing all week long, you know. Don't let anyone tell you no. Never tell yourself no. Just try.
So how's this week been for you? What has stood out to you?
It's awesome. Even though I'm in a non-traditional job, just seeing the other women, like Jessica, the machinist, all these women, even learning stories of our airline stewardess, things I didn't know. It's like our struggle has been the same, you know, yet different, but all the same. And knowing that we have support out here, support that I didn't really know existed as much.
What's going on here in the class? Because I saw an earlier picture with a chair over someone's head.
Oh, my God.
So is this an exercise you were doing?
Yes, this was an exercise. We were reading about women in our history that started. I didn't realize a lot of ladies also agree. We didn't realize so many women had positions in creating unions and starting things and holding it down. And, you know, we all had to do our little snippets or whatever, I guess, what would you call it? Little skits, yeah.
Okay.
Of the ladies that, yeah, role playing of the ladies that we read, and that was probably the best one, yeah.
Great. Well, what advice do you have for young women out there that are just entering the workforce?
Just entering the workforce.
Or they may have just joined the union, like Jessica.
I think the biggest thing now is bring a friend. Bring a friend, and that's something I'm thinking about now. How do I go back and get more women to join the union? I guess we're in the union, but be more active in the union. So that's going to probably be my initiative. Go back and bring a friend. Start bringing people in. We need more women on boards, more women higher up. I was also amazed to see how many women have reached the top here, even at IAM. I was in awe, and they were wonderful. So bring a friend. We need to get more numbers.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I'm gonna miss these ladies, and I expect to see you all in April. I'll have a big barbecue if you come. Can't wait. And to my guys and girls at home in SC 7-Eleven, hi.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank
Monette.
You.
I appreciate it. So we can do it. Rosie lives on forever. If you're just joining us, we're talking to the women from the women's leadership class at the Wimpasinger Center, and we're hoping that you will let us know what you think by commenting on this video right now. We'd like to hear from you watching at home, even during our replay. Our next guest is Billen Art, and Billen is very active in the Canadian Labor Congress as well. Thanks for joining us. You could come closer. It's okay. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got involved with the union.
Sure. So I am a national representative at the Canadian Labor Congress, which is the equivalent to the AFL-CIO here in the States. I work in the Women's and Human Rights Department, and I'm a new-ish worker there. In December, it'll be about a year. And so I've been there for just under a year, and the role that our department plays is that we push campaigns around women's economic justice in Canada. And so we fight on pay equity to end wage discrimination. We talk about sexual harassment and gender-based violence, and we talk about the need for a national child care program.
Now, we in the United States have the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, I think it was called. I don't know if I got the name exactly right, but that was signed in 2009 when President Obama was president. Is there something similar to that in Canada with a Fair Pay Act?
There's Employment Equity Act. But what we're looking for is proactive pay equity legislation. And so we're fighting for that right now. We've gotten somewhat of a commitment from our federal government for equal work at equal value to be paid the same. And so we're fighting that along with our affiliates from coast to coast.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, what has stood out to you this week in this women's leadership class?
Well, I just think the diversity of the class that we've had, and also to hear so much about how the struggles that we're having as unionized workers in Canada are very mirrored in the experiences that I've heard from folks here in the States. And so just to see that, you know, despite the fact that we have that border that separates us, a lot of our struggles are very similar. And so it's been really inspiring to hear about their stories and to hear about how they've overcome some of those challenges and maybe the struggles to come. And I think it provides me with a lot of examples and stories to bring back to my own local.
What pushes you to advocate for women and inspire other women?
I think that for me, I mean, my biggest inspiration is always going to be my mom. My mom came to Canada with nothing as a refugee, and she really worked herself up to be able to put me and my siblings through post-secondary. And so with that inspiration in mind, it was always important for me to be able to think about how we could be positive role models for the people that are coming after us, for the next generation. So I was always so excited to get involved with the union. I remember as soon as I found out about it, this is the first year that I've been a union member, but for all of my adult life, for as long as I can think, I've been wanting to be a part of a union. And so it's really important for me to be able to do the work that we do. I'm privileged to be able to work as a member of Canada's labor movement. And for me, it's paramount that we see more young people, that we see more women, that we see more people of color involved in our trade union activism, because human rights, I think, is really the backbone that builds up our labor movement.
So you jumped right in. Your first year in, you just got involved right away.
Yeah, it was so exciting for me. I was really involved in the student movement when I was in university, and so we worked side by side with labor all the time. And it's really from that moment that I saw how important it was to have a voice at work and to have representation. And so literally the first moment that I knew that I would be a unionized worker, I took my card, I put it up, and I was really excited to think about what the next steps were that I could take to get more involved.
And you mentioned the student movement. I don't know how it is in Canada, but it sounds like it's the same right now. I'm hearing more and more young people in high school and college that are finally learning about unions and whether they're going out and making their voices heard on campus or even off campus. Yeah. It sounds like that's happening in Canada as well.
Definitely. I mean, students are workers, and for a long time we worked alongside the labor movement because we had common interest. And the labor movement supported our fight for free education in Canada. And so that fight is going on, and it's really exciting for me to be on the other side of that and to be able to show some support to the student movement as well as a member of my local.
Great.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? And tell us what you're going to do when you go back home.
Well, I'm really excited to keep fighting for women's economic justice. Again, I'm really privileged to be a member of and on staff as part of Canada's labor movement. And so I'm excited to keep pushing that fight. And I'm really looking forward to being able to think about how we can continue to break down some of those barriers for involvement. You know, I really spoke to me what Monet just said about bringing people with us. I think it's so important that every time we make it through that door, we leave it wide open for more women that look like us to be able to have access to these opportunities. So I'm really excited to have learned so much about the IIM over the course of this week. I'm really thankful to my fellow students and our instructor, and I'm excited to bring back those stories and hopefully bring more women from Canada, bring more women from Ottawa down here to learn more about the union.
Great. Anything else?
No. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. And if you're just joining us, we have the women's leadership class in our studio. They traveled up to our headquarters here in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, to be our studio audience today. And we've spoken to a few of the women who took the class. And we are actually going to bring up our IAM Women's Young Workers and Human Rights and Community Services Director. She's got a lot on her plate. We're going to bring Rhonda Rogers back up here to talk a little bit about the plans going into next year, about how we're going to gather women together and advocate for other women. So welcome back. You spoke with us during our pre-show a little bit. But remind us again about first of all, we have Latina Equal Pay Days coming up November 1st. Remind everyone who's not familiar, who's watching, what that means.
What that means is the money that men make in the year, it takes Latina women until November 1st of the next year, almost a whole additional year, to make the same amount of money.
So what a white non-Hispanic man made in 2017, it has taken up to 2017 and to November 1st, 2018 to make that. That is ridiculous.
It's horrible.
And I found out the other day, because we had the president of LACLA here, that is at the bottom of all the equal pay days.
It is.
Where you go from women, white women, black women, Asian, Native American, Latinas are at the bottom. Yeah. So we have a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
So speaking of work, you have an event coming up next year in April. Tell us a little bit about it.
We do. I'm really excited about it. We have the women's, it's a women's conference. Don't get that confused with our women's leadership program. This is a conference. So our women's leadership program, typically we have 24 to 28 participants in that. This is going to hopefully be a couple hundred. So we're going to have it at Bally's Hotel in Las Vegas. It will be from April 2nd through the 6th. So nothing will really happen on the 2nd. It's going to be like a registration day and that kind of thing. The conference will really begin on the 3rd.
On the 3rd, okay.
Yes.
So April 3rd to the 6th, 2019, forgive our typo, that's my fault, at Bally's in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And what are some of the topics you hope to talk about there?
Well, the theme is going to be Women Rising, Unite the Fight. So we've kind of laid the groundwork in this class, and the three participants in this class have kind of echoed what we want to do. We want to focus on our sisters bringing people along. We want to focus on contract issues that affect women. We want to look at issues that affect our LGBTQ community, and we want to look at helping our sisters learn techniques to run for office. So those are just a few of the things.
Aren't we breaking records now with women that are running for office?
We are.
I have a picture of you. I think it was from the Women's March, and it was with Monica Silvas and Terry McClendon.
Yes.
And look at that shirt. A woman's place is in the House and the Senate. I love it.
Yes.
I love that. How did you feel being at that Women's March?
That was the second one, and I will be at the third one. It's empowering. It really is. We have them all over the country. The speakers are excellent speakers. They come from all types of occupations and ethnicities and cultures, and the situation is the same. I think that issue for women is one that we can all agree on, no matter what our ethnicity is or what our background is that we deserve to be treated equally. We shouldn't have to work twice as hard as a man and be credited with half the work. And that's typically what happens.
Half the work and half the pay sometimes.
Half the work, half the pay. We're working our butts off. We're overachieving. And many times it's like, well, they did all right. You know, and it's time for it to stop. We have a world with men and women in it. And we all, in order to make that world and to make our union work, everybody's opinion needs to be heard. Everyone has good ideas.
Now, I know that we have some men who are also partnering with us and helping to advocate for women as well. So are they welcome to come to the conference? Because I know they'll wonder.
Well, we need their support. We need their support. So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to see a majority of that conference be women. But we do want our brothers there because a lot of times they're in the leadership positions right now. And so we need their support going forward to help us to achieve positions in leadership and also to advocate for our issues.
And they can be role models as well to show men who are promoting women, you know, men who are supporting women and standing up for them.
Yes.
For us, I should say for us.
And we have so many men. I'm not going to name names on here, but I'm hoping that every woman at their local or their district level has at least somebody that they feel is working for them.
How are we doing on the women's committees? I know more locals are starting to add them, and they're starting to get more active.
Yes, they're doing wonderful things. Our last class, I know of several projects that have gone on. Those that didn't have committees are starting meet and greets, and they're forming their committees. I know one group did a self-defense class. Another group had the breast cancer van come out. So a lot of work's been done around the breast cancer awareness, and they're building, and they are getting support from their brothers. So that's good too.
Now you also have partnered with a lot of constituency groups. Why don't you talk about that?
So we have, I told our sisters about all of our groups. We have six that are recognized by the AFL-CIO and one that we have adopted as well. APRI, which is the A. Philip Randolph Institute. We also have the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We have the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, Pride at Work, the Coalition of Labor Union Women, APALA, which is the Asian Pacific Alliance for Labor. I can't believe that I lost
it. I lost it too. Asian Pacific American?
Asian Pacific American
Labor Alliance. There we go.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So it's hard to remember.
And then we have Council Fire, which is for our first inhabitants here in North America, our Native American people.
Yes, and that was just founded by a machinist, right?
It was founded by a machinist. So we talked about these groups in class this week. These are ways that we can get involved. You don't have to be African American to be in the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. I am a member of all seven of those constituency groups.
So am I, yes.
And so they're great groups that understand the value and the importance of what people in the labor movement do. But then they also have that space where they can focus on issues that affect a certain group of people. And they pull in, you know, they want to make alliances and things like that so that we can get done what we need to get done. So it's a great resource as far as learning and understanding issues that affect other groups. I have said this many times. I am not black. I am not gay. I will do my very best to understand and advocate for issues that affect people in our African American, our Latina, and our LGBTQ communities. But if we don't have people that are in those communities involved in showing us what we need to do, then it's not going to get fixed. I can fight with, but I can't lead in those instances.
We are so much stronger together. I mean, we have power in numbers, strength in numbers.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we end the program?
Yes. I would like,
yeah. She's like, I have so much to say.
I do. I have tons to say, but I'm going to keep it short. I want to give a shout out to our General Secretary, Treasurer Dora Cervantes. Yes. She opened us up on Sunday, spent an hour and a half with every one of our sisters here, spoke with all of them individually, and really set the tone for the week by firing up the class. I love her, and I love the work that she does, and I love the fact that she wants to come down and speak with our sisters in every class. We had a woman from another class in there who I dearly love, Andrea Gorman, who asked permission to come in and sit in. There was a lot of chatter around Sister Dora being there.
Oh, that's great.
So she is a big inspiration to all of our sisters out there. So I want to thank her. I also want to thank my sisters at the Whippensinger Center, Mary McHugh and Julie Fritchen, who taught with me this week.
Oh, great.
And I already told everyone here, it's been a long time since I've been able to sit in the back of the class and watch Julie and Mary teach. And I really, y'all got something out of that, so did I. I just really enjoy the work that they do. They're inspirational, I believe, to my sisters out here, but also to me. So I wanna thank them too. And I'd like to thank our one brother we let in the class, Brother Dave Miscolzi, our Canadian brother. He did a really good job working with our sisters on parliamentary procedures.
Oh, good.
So,
yes. Take us through some of the topics that you went through, because I know you talked about the Constitution, parliamentary procedures.
Right.
What else?
One of the things that I believe is really important is when our sisters go back, that they understand how to navigate a union meeting, how to follow parliamentary procedures, how to give a committee report, how to speak in front of the membership, because when they form their committees, they're gonna need to ask for things. They're gonna need to make motions. They're gonna need to let everyone know what they're doing. And so we have all of those classes. Julie does an excellent job with women's labor history, which also is very inspiring, because a lot of times our labor history isn't necessarily focused on. And there's a lot of sisters out there that people don't realize, you know, their fight and what they did to contribute to the labor movement. So that's a class that we teach. We teach them how to form committees. And all of them came up with some excellent projects that hopefully they'll steal from each other. Some of them were new projects that I hadn't seen before. So we teach them that. There's a political piece in there that discusses women's issues and how do we get our voices heard within our state and national legislatures. So, I mean, we gave them a lot, I think.
And they're prepared because Election Day is coming up,
They are prepared and ready to go. And so I would ask back at the local, give them some space and let them get some stuff done, because they will make you shine. They will make you shine. I am confident in every single one of these women. One of the last things that I'll say about this class is there's a lot of love in here. Mm-hmm. You know, every now and again, we'll get criticized for tearing each other down. Mm-hmm. That never happened in this class. They brought each other along the whole way. It was just the love in this class is just wonderful.
I think that's because they understand that we are more powerful together, you know, supporting each other.
So thank you. You're the last people I want to thank. Aww. Thank you for a wonderful, inspiring week for me. I'll be in the clouds for quite a while on this one. So thank you so much, sisters, all of you.
Thank you.
Well, that is it for this special edition of Activate Live. We would like to thank all of the women who traveled to headquarters today from the Wimpasinger Center. And join us next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, for our next episode. And if you like what you've heard today, please share this video. See you Wednesday.